Our reading from Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And from verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, and when John also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. On our Wednesday evening Bible study this past week, we began our discussion with the book of Judges. The introduction to that passage by our author was met with interest by us as a class as we listened attentively. His words are recorded in this way. Historians have calculated that the world's great civilizations have lasted an average of 200 years. Most of them started with bondage, experienced liberty, enjoyed abundance and prosperity, and then went through a downward spiral through selfishness and weakness to another time of bondage. The old saying, history always repeats itself, is not always right, but there is definitely a repeating in the cycle of Judges, and it's not a pleasant cycle. Judges tells the story of recycled misery for the people Israel. Those words, as we shared that introduction this past week, were met with a familiar tone by many of us who listened. That the cycle of great nations, so often throughout history, have only lasted 200 years. Our time is at hand. A time of choosing, perhaps a time of reckoning. Many of us see signs that spiral has begun among our nation. Deliverance, attaining liberty and freedom, and then becoming enwrapped in that downward spiral of losing our way. Perhaps lacking our faith and trust in God, going our own way so often. We as a nation indeed find ourselves in a journey similar to that of the people Israel in the seeking now during this important time of a new leader for our land. You see, that's what happened as the writer in the Old Testament started chronicling the book of Judges. It was a time where new leadership was about to come to Israel. Moses, as we know, had led the people of Israel out of slavery. From bondage in Egypt, he had delivered them. And then the leadership of Joshua took over in the promised land. It was seamless. But then as Judges begins, the very first verse of the book starts with this. Who will lead us now? Joshua. He's gone. They're hungry. They're seeking as a nation, as a people, perhaps as we as the United States now. What do we do in our time of peril? Who is most equipped to lead us as a people? You know, as we begin to ponder that question, and as we reflected on it in our Bible study this past week, it didn't take long for us to wrestle and think about the direction for us as a nation, for all of us as families, for any decisions we make as young people in schools, as educators in the classroom, as coaches on the ball field, as employees, part of a team, that the decisions we make should be accompanied with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what Lorenzo said in our Bible study this week. We asked, how do we know what to do? How do we know if our decisions are in accordance with God's wills? And Lorenzo said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that shows us the way. That certainly is inspired by Scripture itself. For in John chapter 14, this is what John says about the Spirit. When Jesus is preparing to leave, John describes the Spirit in this way. Jesus says, I will send you my helper. I will send you my teacher. He will show you and reveal to you all things. You see, some educational institutes today, some of us in the classrooms, find a new process of not only teaching kids from the lection style of view, but also allowing the kids to teach themselves in some respect, help themselves, to tutor one another. Some kids respond not only to the enforcement and direction of teacher, but also the encouragement of their colleagues to journey with them, to help them in ways that maybe the teacher can't. To tutor, but yes, maybe in the words of our scripture today, to be their helper. Don't you like that word? Helper. One who journeys along beside us. One who is our equal. One who is our partner on the journey in life. A helper in the classroom for kids seeking a little extra help. John says that the Holy Spirit, my friends, is that for us. He is, in the words of the writer of the gospel, our helper. He journeys along beside us. He is our colleague. As Jesus is our brother, the Holy Spirit journeys with us as well. But also, John says, the Holy Spirit is not only our helper, but the Holy Spirit is also, take it up a level, our teacher. Wow. He's both. And. In other words, if I'm a student hungry to learn in the classroom, or if I'm an employee trying to learn the most effective way to move our company forward, then I need someone who is my colleague to journey with me, to be my helper. But I also need a teacher, one who goes before me, one who's wiser than me, one who I'm called to follow. You know, Dr. Howell, this week we were at Rotary and he had a young man join him who was a student preparing to be a dentist. Why did he come with Dr. Howell? He needed a teacher. He was surrounding himself with someone who'd gone before him. Someone he could learn from. You see, oh mighty God comes to us in our hungering to know. As we're faced with complex decision, whether it be for the choice of a leader for our nation, or how to respond to conflict in our family, or challenges from those who we thought were friends when they treat us as enemies, how do we respond in the way that God would have us to respond in accordance to His will? We turn to the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who journeys with us, but who is also who is our teacher that journeys before us. Trust in the Spirit. Yes. But how do we know? That's the deeper question, perhaps for some of us. Yes, we know that we're called to pray. We're called to trust in the Spirit. Romans, Paul said in Romans that the Spirit Himself teaches us how to pray. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought to, right? We believe those words. We receive those words. We understand the voice of the preacher today who says, trust in the Spirit, and we nod affirmingly. But the deeper question for us, some of us, is how do we know? How do we know when we're trusting in the Spirit? How do we know if we're walking in God's way? How do we know if it's the voice of the Spirit or just a temptation of the evil one trying to trick us on our journey? How do we know? How do we know it's not an imposture, as we spoke of in our young disciples' time? Scripture reveals to us, I think, what the Holy Spirit looks like in our passage that we shared a few moments ago. The passage of the baptism of Jesus. Just as he is about to begin his earthly ministry, he walks with John down into the baptismal waters, and something occurs there unlike we've ever received in Scripture. It tells us those words that have become familiar, perhaps too familiar to us at times, that we miss the larger and the deeper meaning. The Scripture tells us that as Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Like a dove. An imagery of what the Holy Spirit looks like for us to know and to understand when we're in the way of the Holy Spirit. Hear, O people of faith, is what it looks like, a dove. Now, what I know about doves is they are symbols. We spoke of them this morning. Tristan has a dove on her necklace this day. I said, what does that dove symbolize to you? She said, well, it's a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of love. Yes, those are symbols of the dove. Imagine, as the Scripture says, that it ascended down from heaven. Can't you envision that being a graceful soaring? The Spirit moves gracefully into our midst. The Spirit, the dove, is also in our world a symbol of peace, right? And the Spirit, in the words of my friend Tristan, yes, most effectively, friends, I'm convinced, the image of the Spirit is of love. Maybe it's more than just imagery, because those are the very words that Jesus heard from heaven when the Spirit revealed himself to Christ. The very first thing that Jesus heard was, you are my Son, the Beloved. How do we know if we're in the way of the Spirit? If we're acting in ways of love as Jesus received here. If we're in accordance with the peace filled, in a grace-filled journey through life, then friends, that is the words of the Spirit that will not be an imposter to us on our journey. As we're faced with decisions, as a nation choosing a leader, as we look for those and we try to determine, are they the real deal? Are they the imposter? Are they going to practice the truth? We surrender, friends, in our decision making to Almighty God. We call out to the Holy Spirit for inspiration. And we search for the signs of the Spirit. Is there love? Is there what Paul said in his letter to the church in Galatians? This is the fruits of the Spirit. When we're trying to make decisions, are they ripe with this fruit? This is the behavior that's in accordance with God's will. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things that embody the behavior of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. May we, in every way we can, grasp hold of those leadership skills in our own life, in our own family, as we become daddies to households, as we become mamas to children, as we become leaders and teachers in classrooms, administrators, bosses to our employees, may we embody the fruits of the Spirit ourselves. May it reflect the grace of the dove, the peace and love of our Lord. And may we see those as signs when we are walking in God's way. How do we know the ways of the Spirit? They should look like the fruit. They should look like the dove. You know, we spoke of Mr. Leland and his accident this week, and I visited with Miss Geneva several times, and John wrote me a text message this morning, their son, and he said, "You know, Mom is doing amazingly well." That was his word. He could have just as easily said, I think, miraculously well. Or amazingly strong. But Miss Geneva, in the midst of this tragedy, in the midst of this peril, has responded with grace. You know, it would be tempting, and I know initially there was anger. Surely, yes, as we gathered with her at the emergency room, Lamont, the other night. She had to be just a little bit perturbed. Can we use that word? Angry, perhaps, with Leland. He should have known better, right? But she chose, friends, not to be concerned and consumed with anger as a reaction. She put that to the side. And rather than embracing anger, she embraced strength and acted like Jesus in the midst of this tragedy through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we're going to be challenged at work, at school, as voters in a nation hungry for leadership. We're going to be challenged. We're going to see things that make us angry and upset us, much like Geneva this past Wednesday. And we're going to be tempted to react only instinctively with anger, with brash, unprayerful thoughts. But if we slow down enough to petition, to surrender in prayer, to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit to inform us and inspire us, then surely our decisions and our actions as a nation and as individuals will more fully reflect the power and the majesty of the Holy Spirit. Learning from Miss Geneva, as she embraced God's strength for her life, may we embrace Him every step on our journey, that as the world looks upon us, they may see the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the gift of love in a loveless world. Jesus may be glorified through our lives and in our ministry. Amen. Let's respond now in faith as we